This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go. Steelers-Ravens tomorrow from Baltimore. You can hear Fan Game Day. A little bit of change. 9 to 12:30 due to Pitt basketball being on the air. It's with Donnie, Mark Cabali, and Jason Mackey. You can listen to it right here on 93.7 The Fan. You can also listen on your Odyssey app. Pitt volleyball lost last night to Louisville. Their teams have met so far this year, and Pitt had won the first two matchups but lost in four sets. Penn State moves on reverse sweeps against Nebraska, so it'll be Louisville, Penn State in the final, and that is on Sunday at 3 o'clock. More 93.7thefan.com. Headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. It's a football Friday.
It's Baltimore.
They're bringing everybody. Stepping away from it, Roethlisberger throws off balance, has Holmes. Holmes cuts back, middle pass Walker. Sidesteps another hit. Miller down there leading the charges. Washington's going to throw a block, and Holmes has taken it in. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Off Polamalu. Polamalu going right. The field is open. Aaron Smith shields. Flacco. Polamalu.
Yes, Donnie.
Super Bowl 43. Pittsburgh might be bound for that. Thanks to number 43.
It's Baltimore.
Second and five. And of course, Flacco will milk the clock as far down as he can. 325. Ticking down in the fourth. And he gets knocked down, and the ball is loose, and it's Polamalu. It's picked up by Woodley, and he gets taken down to the 10-yard line. Huge, huge play. Flacco going back, and unless that arm was coming forward, this will stand.
Handoff. Henry turns it upfield. Very close to a first down. Loses the ball. Cough up by Henry. And the Steelers have it.
It's Baltimore.
Ravens late getting back onto the field as the Steelers come up to the line. Third and 19. Weldy Moore in the backfield with Roethlisberger. Looks like a three-man rush for Baltimore.
That's all they're showing.
And that's all it is. Roethlisberger going to go deep. Caught! Antonio Brown out of bounds inside the five. We have a penalty marker down.
It's Baltimore.
Wow. That was Limit's coup de grace. That was his Mona Lisa. That was his whatever else I can't think of. Donnie, it's a Donnie Football Friday. How about a hand for our friend Limit's? Wow.
A round of applause.
Thank you very much. Wow, Steelers Ravens, we have to bring the heat, baby.
That was your masterpiece. You've painted it.
Thank you very kindly.
Donnie, I'm fired up. Forget about all the ramifications. Forget about talks with Pony about whether, play out how we define success a month from now. This is a giant game. It's Steelers Ravens. They can clinch the division. I'm very excited. We're going to have our greatest Donnie Football Friday ever. There's no pomp today. I'm not excited about that. I'm saddened by that in many ways. But you know what? This bus has its passengers, and we're taking off, and we'll catch up with Pomp on Monday. He's a wonderful man. I began my day by picking up blueberries at a place in Wexford, the name of which I forget. It's a little deli right off the road there, and a woman spilled blueberries, and I felt compelled to help her pick them up, and she was so kind that she helped to buy my groceries. I didn't expect that, Donnie.
Oh, a little like, pay it forward.
A little pay it forward. Yes, for picking up blueberries.
It's the holiday season.
I didn't think you meant you physically had to pick them up. I thought I went and bought some.
No, they actually fell on the floor, and there I was picking up blueberries first thing in the morning, dropping my car off out at a Toyota place out there, and then getting picked up by an Uber, and the Uber was a Tesla. That was like a new age. I felt like I flew here. I got from Wexford to this building in a minute, and it's 15 miles away. It was unbelievable. Donnie.
Yeah, I think those are nice. They ride real smooth. I was kind of hoping, Austin, that he was in one of those ones that looked like the Batmobile.
It was.
You know, like,
it was.
Oh, you
it
were
was
in
a
that
little
one.
Black Tesla. Yes, that's exactly what it was. And I couldn't open the door. There's no handle. You have to press.
Oh,
and then,
yeah, it is a little bit confusing.
It's weird. Right. I don't know how to open those doors still.
And then the guy freaked out because I had food. I didn't have food like I was eating food.
Oh,
I had,
no. That's a no-no in the Ubers.
I wasn't eating. I had groceries in a bag, in a plastic bag, and the guy lost it. He's like, no, you got to put that on the ground. You can't put that on the seat. I said, it's in a bag. It's frozen. It's frozen. Everything's okay. It's not going to spill. And he's like, no, you got to put that on the ground. So I complied very peacefully and got here in a minute. I'm fired up. I look outside. Look outside, Donnie. There's a light snow still falling like ticker tape. There's snow on the trees. It's Christmas season. This is a wonderful time to be you and me and City Limits. And it's Steelers Ravens. How are you, Donnie?
I am great, Joe. Some AFC North football weather out the window, you could say.
I can't believe it. Maybe one of the teams will do the old free kick fair catch like last night.
How about that?
Did you see that, Limits? And how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, guys. This is going to be an incredible football Friday. I am pumped up. I have an incredible weekend planned, and I hope it is as incredible as I am hyping it up to be.
Yeah, but did you see the free catch, fair kick, whatever the hell it was?
I did.
Fair catch, free kick?
I have a funny story about that. So Donnie and I covered a high school football game earlier this year.
Hold on. I'll tell your story. Let me just tell people if they didn't see it. At the end of the half last night, the Chargers, there's an archaic rule in the NFL where if you fair catch a punt and then attempt a field goal, you can do it right away.
You can't run a play. It has to be like immediate.
Yes, you can't have a rush on the kicker.
Correct.
You can try a field goal, and it was Cameron Dicker the kicker, and he kicked a 57-yarder. So fair catch, if you immediately kick a field goal, they can't rush the field. There's no defense, basically. You get that's why they call it a free kick. Go ahead, Limits.
So Donnie and I saw this actually happen at a high school game earlier this year.
What?
It was attempted.
Yeah. North Allegheny played against
Central Catholic.
And I believe it was North Allegheny, whose kicker, Peter Natero, is going to Alabama, who attempted this. I think it was a 47-yarder. He did not make it. But I took a video of it, posted it on social media, and Ben put it on his, and it went viral and blew up. So not the first time that we've seen it this year, but the first time we've seen it successfully.
Man, that's unbelievable.
It's definitely bizarre when you see a team like try it, because it's so rare.
I know, and it worked. And we'll talk about that game and its implications and all the playoff stuff. But, man, we have Steelers, Ravens. And I would compare this, Donnie, to the old Big East basketball tournament where – yeah, it's really not in the end, honestly, how you measure your season, because that comes in the NCAA tournament. But while you're living it, you're living it. It's you want to be the guy in the neighborhood. You want to be the neighborhood bully is what you want to be. And this is Pitt and UConn is what it is. It's Pitt and UConn, and you want to win it while you're here and revel in it and enjoy it. And plant your flag in Baltimore and maybe get arrested for a felony, Donnie, if you do that. You want to do that. That's living in the moment, and that's a big deal, a big regular season deal. It's as big as it gets. Clinch a division in Baltimore. Do that. But here's the story of the game that I'd like to get into with my opening soliloquy, and I'm going to throw it to you, Donnie. The story of this game is the hex that the Steelers have on Lamar Jackson and how that plays out. And I'm going to go back to last night to Pitt volleyball. They had an unbelievable season. But, and we all watched it happen, they got back into a familiar spot. Just like the team I grew up watching and loving that we look back on now, I think, with more respect than people were giving them at the time. And that's the Buffalo Bills for winning four straight AFC championships. When they would get to the Super Bowl, they would be, and something would go wrong, they would become unrecognizable. That's what would happen to them. Certain teams or certain players in certain situations, maybe it's a certain opponent, maybe it's a time of year in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, whatever it might be, they experience repeated failures in those situations. And then it becomes when they get in it again, it's either you're going to push through this time or a feeling sets in. And if I had to whittle it to a phrase, it's here we go again. And if you were watching the volleyball match last night, you had to feel that. I've talked to a number of people who felt that. I wondered if they felt that. Pitt was unrecognizable in the fourth set. They're a great team. And then all of a sudden, you know, they can't return a serve. Serves are hitting the ground on them. There's miscommunications. They became unrecognizable. They did. And that brings me to Lamar, who when he faces the Steelers is not Lamar. Go look at the numbers. This dude, if he retired today, would walk into the Hall of Fame. He's Michael Jordan in the regular season. He's one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in that sport, which is already the 0.1%. But when he faces the Steelers, what happens? It starts to become, you know, maybe a couple early drives go well and you're like, this will be the day that he changes it. And he doesn't. He just doesn't. I thought it would be the last time around here. And then he turns into the Bills in a Super Bowl. It's here we go again. Something goes wrong and here we go again. And you can feel that feeling emanating from Lamar as you're watching the game. And he becomes unrecognizable. That's not Lamar. He doesn't make a throw like that to Joey Porter in the end zone against any other team. He doesn't run to the sidelines on a two-point conversion and not even throw the ball, you know, with a legit pass or anything at the end of a game. Or you could just watch the whole game and see, my God, he doesn't look like this against any other team. Here we go again with Lamar. So the storyline for me, Donnie, in this game is, will that change? I also think of other situations. I think of the Penguins against the Flyers. They lost a million games in a row. I think of the Bills against the Dolphins in the 70s. Didn't beat them for the whole decade. I think of Bill Cowher at home in AFC title games. Something would go wrong, and it would be, here we go again. You could feel it on the sidelines. You could feel it in the press box. You could feel it in your living room. So will it be different with Lamar? Will they continue to have this hex on him, or will he push through? There's a million storylines, a million ways the game could be decided. That's the main one to me.
It's almost like that quicksand feeling that sometimes athletes will bring up, you know, not actual quicksand, but like the idea of it in a specific game. Like one thing starts to go wrong, and it's like the harder you try to fight your way out of quicksand, the quicker you're going to sink right into it. And sometimes that's what happens here. You brought up Pitt volleyball from last night, which I think, for the record, as an aside, they'll go down as like one of the best to never actually complete a national championship season.
Not yet. Can they find a way like Cowher did in that game against the Colts? Not yet, though. But yeah, you're right. And they'll also go down as a great, great team.
Absolutely. And with Lamar, this is why I think in a game like this and tomorrow, we saw it in the first matchup this season. It doesn't necessarily have to be him, but the Steelers have to stop the Ravens' offense early in the game, because I think it's always a tone setter for Lamar in these matchups, whether it's a turnover or whether they just come away with no points or, you know, just a disappointing end to their drive. We saw it in the first game. Derrick Henry fumbles on one of the first plays of the game. That completely turned things.
Yes.
And after that, it just felt like they were trying to dig out of something, even though the hole wasn't that great. You know, it's not like the quicksand was like swallowing them up, but that's what it feels like Lamar gets into in these games. He turns into such an average pedestrian quarterback. And I brought it up to Elandon Roberts the other night, and he kind of laughed and said, you know, I don't think we should ever use Lamar Jackson and average in the same sentence. And I said, I would agree 99% of the time. But when it's in the playoffs or when it's against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that is what happens. You guys turn him into a pedestrian player. He turns into just your run-of-the-mill, like lower-tier type quarterback. I don't know what it is, but every single time they make it happen.
And it's undeniable. It's undeniable as you're watching it. So how do you change that? You know, if you're Pitt volleyball, what's the breakthrough going to look like? Cowher did get to a Super Bowl the 1 year before the Bettis year, long before the Bettis year. And even that game, against the Colts, it was here we go again. What's going to go wrong? And it came down to the Hail Mary. Good old Jim Harbaugh. He didn't mm-hmm. use a fair catch free kick in that game, but he almost used a Hail Mary to win that game. It somehow, some way, you either break through or you never do. It's one or the other. And you're only going to get so many cracks. And now Lamar, man, you look at the numbers and it almost makes you laugh. I mean, it's true against the rest of the NFL. He really is Michael Jordan. Phenomenal. I mean, what does he have right now? 35 touchdowns and 3 picks, and he's going to run for 1,000 yards? He's having one of the greatest quarterback seasons ever.
34-3.
34-3. And he's going to run for right around 1,000. Mm-hmm. He's never run for a touchdown against the Steelers. Think about that. And as you watch the games against the Steelers, you can see him seeing ghosts. You can see the wheels turning in his head. He's not naturally, he's not free against them like he is against any other team. He's thinking. He's seeing ghosts. Something's happening. It's the Steelers. So why would there be a breakthrough this week? Let's explore that question, Donnie, if we think there will be. The one caveat here, the change in environment, is that for the first time, when he faces the Steelers, Lamar will have a home crowd behind him, at least at the beginning, behind him. He faced him at home before, but that was during the COVID year. Bob Spillane pick six, mm-hmm. I believe.
That is hard to believe. It's the only time.
It's unreal. I had to look at that mm-hmm. 3 times. How does that play out? Is he going to be more comfortable at home? Is he sick and tired of this, as Rob Long said the other day? If you can dig up that clip about Craig Elo and all of that the other day, Limits, I'd love to hear that whole thing. How does that detail manifest itself in the game? I don't know. It could infuse Lamar with extra confidence. It could turn him back into Lamar. Or, like you said, something goes wrong early in the game. He starts playing a crappy game. Then the pressure is heightened, and the pressure is already heightened. They have to win for a chance to win the division. Mm-hmm. The Steelers don't. The Steelers do not. The Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite, whatever they are. The Steelers are the underdog, heavy underdog in this game. So if things start to turn early in the game, do we get another here we go again? Or does Lamar find a way to break through? Or does he come out in this game with the home crowd behind him and just light up the Steelers? Like everything that he struggled with against them through his career is just blown apart like it's an exorcism. You know what I mean? Like it's Pirates Reds in the wild card game. 20 years of pent up frustration just unload in one game. I don't know. But I'm very curious how this turns out, and I do have a gut feel.
This may be the time where people do have to draw the line after this game. If he still doesn't break out, where they have to kind of consider that we may never see it, because the circumstances are pretty perfect for him. Like you said, this is just the second time at home he'll ever start against the Steelers. The first time with a true crowd in the stands. And they are a more than touchdown favorite, almost a touchdown and an extra point favorite going into this game. They're the team that needs the win even more. I mean, obviously, it's big for both. I'm not taking away how important a win is for the Steelers, but they need it even more, like you said, to still have a chance to win the AFC North, which they were expected to win going into the season. That's why I think the first drive or first couple of drives of this game are so, so important. And even though it's hard to say if the first drive of the game goes a certain way, then that doesn't always paint the picture for the rest of the game. But I just think it will be telling to me if the Ravens get the football for the first time, they go right down the field and score. I'm going to think that the Steelers are in trouble, because that's going to be the first time where it feels to me, oh, Lamar's comfortable against them. They have to figure out something fast to throw him off his game, because more often than not, the first time they get the football, some sort of mistake gets made, or they have a three and out, or maybe they move the chains a little bit and then they have to punt the ball away, or they don't convert a fourth down, whatever it may be. That first drive has to have a disappointing finish for the Ravens. And then I think we could start to see again, you know, he'll grow the frustrations immediately.
Yeah, I'll go with Jordan again. You don't want him getting hot early. He gets hot in the first quarter, you could be looking at 60, you know, in the Jordan metaphor,
yeah.
60 points. He gets hot early there. I'm with you on that. And they're supposed to win, the Ravens. I heard you guys talking about yesterday the point spread. Of course, it's a huge point spread. No George Pickens. T.J. Watt, I would think Vegas is looking at and wondering, are we getting a compromise, T.J. Watt? Is he going to re-injure this thing? No Deshaun Elliott, it looks like, again, who's been, I think, at a Pro Bowl level this mm-hmm. season. And then, maybe even more to the point, you've got the Ravens coming off a double bye. They had a literal bye, and then they played the Giants. And you have the Steelers coming off playing maybe the best team in the league and getting physically mauled. So you have two teams coming into this physically, I would think, in a very different state. All the pressures on Lamar and the Ravens and all he does and all they do is lose to the Steelers in close games. That's all they do when they play anymore. And if it happens again, they will have lost 9 of 10, which has never happened in this series, in this great, great series. Let's hear Rob Long, our friend from The Fan, in Baltimore, Donnie. I don't know if you heard this a couple days ago. He has very keen insight into that team, I think. And this is his feeling on Lamar going into this game.
I remember as a teenager, Michael Jordan was torching everybody in the NBA. Folks start saying, Craig Elo is the Jordan stop. And Jordan got tired of that. He torched Elo, including the game winner at the end. I think Lamar Jackson's tired of hearing about Pittsburgh Steelers being the Lamar stopper. And I think he's going to address that this Saturday.
That's the question on the table then. A long way of getting to it, but we're here at 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Welcome to Adonnie Football Friday. Myself, Donnie, and our friend Austin Bechtold, City Limits, and he was on fire from the start. I don't know if Lamar will get off to a good start, but City Limits with the finest opening to this show that he's ever had.
Oh, he didn't turn the football over.
You know, he scored a touchdown on three plays, I think. A couple runs to get started, and then he hit him with a bomb, right?
Three plays, 80 yards.
So let's not beat around the bush. Let's not beat around the Devin Bush here. Is Lamar going to look more like himself or be unrecognizable again? Which is it?
I'm going to say unrecognizable, which is why I think that if you had to pick out of the Steelers' injuries a guy to be back for this game, I think for this particular game, it's big that they have T.J. Watt on the field. Mm. Maybe he's not quite 100%. I don't think that injury was as bad as we first thought. He maybe avoided something bad in Philly. But the Steelers have an innate ability to just drag the Ravens into the mud.
Yeah.
And you have to have your best defensive player on the field for that to happen. Not saying that if George Pickens was in, he wouldn't make a big difference. That's not what I'm getting to. But the Steelers can get into these games with the Ravens and make it an absolute rock fight. I mean, the games rarely get out of the 20s. They rarely get out of the teens, and they almost never get into the 30s. So your best chance to do that is with T.J. Watt on the field and have him make an impact, because he is a guy that can make that big play early, or at least help one of the other guys make a big play early, and that's when things could start to spiral for the Ravens offense.
Donnie says to the question, will Lamar be more like himself or still unrecognizable against the Steelers? Still unrecognizable? Against my better judgment, I'm going to disagree with him. And I will make this promise that if it happens again, if they stifle this guy again, I will not pick them in a rematch if it happens in the wild card round. I don't know if I'll ever pick them again. I'll make that promise here. But this week, I think we see his greatness. By the way, if we don't, and I'm a Ravens fan, if it turns into that again, where he looks like, you know, Duck Hodges in a game against them, or pick a quarterback right now who's not very good, Donnie.
Will Levis.
I was just thinking.
Is that who you were thinking?
Levis and Butthead.
If he looks like Levis and Butthead again, I promise you I'm not picking them again. And I feel like already I'm making a mistake. I just believe that this guy is too great to let it happen again. But what I was going to say is if I'm a Ravens fan and I watch that happen again against the Steelers, then I project ahead to the playoffs and I'm like, if he can't change it in this environment, what's going to make him change it in that environment? He's so great. And his two blocks of kryptonite are later on in the playoffs, because he did play good in the first round last year, the divisional round. He was great. Later on in the playoffs and against the Steelers, those are two bad places to have your kryptonite, Donnie. You know what I mean? Two real bad. Well, you know, why couldn't it be he gets off to horrible starts every year and plays bad against, you know, the Bills or the Browns or something? It has to be their arch rival and in the playoffs. I think it's going to be different. Because I do believe this guy, I really do believe he's an all-time great talent, and I think it has to turn at some point. And yet, there's that little voice in my head saying, no, it's not. He sees ghosts against this team, and it's not going to change. But I guess it's Lamar's greatness that I believe in, combined with a compromised Steelers team. Both what I mentioned about the rest that the Ravens have had, an easy game where they got to rest people, that followed a bye, and the Steelers just got the hell beaten out of them in Philadelphia. So, and have injuries, key injuries. The Ravens have some, you know, TJ Watts, their equivalent of Lamar. This will be like Lamar missing, you know, or maybe being compromised in the game. We know TJ's going to play, but I wonder what his effectiveness is. And then you take Pickens away. That's like taking, you know, Roquan Smith away from them, a hugely key player. So I understand why the Steelers are as big underdogs as they are. Everything's against them. And I think for once Lamar rises. And believe me when I tell you, I have little voices chirping at me saying, you're an idiot. You've been fooled before on that. Believe me.
I mean, and if you're a Ravens fan and he does go out there and it looks same old against the Steelers, that is, where he doesn't look like the same guy, to the point you just made, there's going to be people in that fan base and that cover the team that do question, like, okay, is he just going to be a great regular season quarterback, but he'll never win the big one?
Right.
I mean, there's been plenty of examples of that, where this guy can be a highlight reel player from September through December, but you get to January and it goes downhill, or you play this team and it goes downhill.
Imagine being a Ravens fan and having if that happens again, and then knowing you might face the Steelers in the playoffs in a couple weeks here. How could you feel good about that?
And it would have to be here, not there.
So, man, it's a great story, though. It's such an interesting story with him. Let's hit the lines for a moment on a Donnie Football Friday. Shall we, Donnie? Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of things happening. Ray Fittipaldo's on. Nick Kostos is on. We have a numbers game. We have a Bechtold breakdown. We have a trivia game coming up at 1 o'clock on Steelers Ravens history. And, of course, our predictions. And you're an integral part of the show here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You're the star of the show. Let's go to the lines, Limits. Who do we got?
We'll start with Vincent in Columbus.
Hey, guys. I think the trend continues. I think the biggest reason why they've been able to get Lamar struggling is the pass rush and also just the turnovers themselves. And that's been the theme, not even just in the last 9 games, but just the whole rivalry in and of itself. You think of the Troy strip sack, and I just think that's going to be more of the same.
Vincent, do you think that TJ's presence tomorrow, do you think that's more important than having George Pickens on the field? Kind of like my thinking?
Yeah, for this game, I think so, just because he knows how to play against Lamar, and he's had his number two. He's had so many big plays against them with the sacks and the strip sacks, so I think for this specific game, it works. And even last year against the Ravens, Pickens only had – I don't even think he had a catch in that Baltimore game. So.
Don't you guys wonder, though, both you guys, because I think Vegas does – about what TJ's actually going to look like out there, pushing off that ankle, you know, 40 times in the game?
At least for me. But they do have more depth at that position than really anywhere else, which is nice. So, I mean, if you do need to see him miss a drive or two. I also think he avoided a much bigger injury. Like, I don't think it was as bad as it looked on Sunday when it happened in real time.
Yeah, and I remember Kyle Hamilton, he had an ankle injury the Thursday night game before the Steelers game, and then he ended up being a full go. So maybe it's just that kind of situation again. So,
all right, man. We appreciate it. Next, Limits.
One more. Let's go to Emmanuel in Carnegie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Yeah, what's on your mind?
I think the trend is going to continue. I don't think Lamar is going to play that well, but I got a question. So if he doesn't play well, throw a couple picks, but we don't score enough points and they win, say, 13-9, do you think that's going to, you know, give them confidence and make them feel good if we have a rematch in the playoffs? Because I'm thinking we might still lose, but I think we'll control Lamar.
Good question.
I do think that's a good point, because that's honestly the way that I'm kind of feeling right now about it. Like, that he could struggle again, but the Steelers may not be able to score enough points, and maybe Justin Tucker doesn't miss two field goals this time around either.
Talk about a guy who's seeing ghosts.
Oh,
that guy. Well, here's the thing, Donnie. I think it depends on the way it goes in that guy's scenario. Like, if it comes down to it's Steelers leading the game 17-15, and Lamar actually takes them on a drive, mm-hmm. and they win. So for once, the end of the game, because a lot of these have been end games. He hasn't played well overall, but he does find it within himself to drive them down the field when it matters. He couldn't convert the two-pointer to Mark Andrews 1 year. Remember that?
Yes.
TJ was all over him. This year, the weird play where Tomlin outfoxed John Harbaugh by calling that timeout and realized, for one thing, oh my God, they're not going to put Derrick Henry on the field from the two-yard line? We had the 1 year where Lamar drove them down the field at the end, and the Steelers made a play. The pass was for Odell Beckham. I forget who made the defensive play. Maybe it was Minka. So I think even in a low-scoring game, if he finishes it the right way instead of the wrong way, that could breed confidence for him.
I think the coaching point you brought up is a pretty good one that we shouldn't gloss over, because that is another factor in this, that it seems like coaches who I think are on a pretty similar level, and I say this almost every time they match up, I think Harbaugh and Tomlin are pretty close to each other in terms of, you know, just overall body of work. Harbaugh gets in his own head against Tomlin every single time.
He does.
You know, it's kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen The Waterboy with Adam Sandler, you know, one of his classics from 25 years ago.
Nothing better, maybe in all of sports, than Steelers Ravens. Is there, Donnie? I think if people love North Carolina Duke, it's okay to me. I'm not,
Red Sox Yankees.
I hate that, but I hear you. What's better? What am I missing here? College? What's better in college?
I mean, you got a handful. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan.
Ohio
you have
State,
the Iron
Michigan.
Bowl.
Yeah.
For people in the South.
Baseball, football, basketball, hockey. How about the Penguinis last night? Have they captured a little magic here? That was a dramatic
game.
They
have.
Wow, Donnie.
They may sneak their way in, but we still have months to go.
They might win the Super Bowl. But the question on the table here, that was great stuff last night, by the way. I really enjoyed that. The question on the table is Lamar and what the Steelers do to this guy. He is not himself against them. He turns into somebody else. We've mentioned all the names. He turns into A.J. McCarron against them. He turns into the old Buffalo Bills quarterback, Joe Ferguson. He turns into Bubby Brister. He turns into, go ahead, somebody going to help me here? Let's fire off some backup quarterbacks from his
Ryan team. Finley.
He turns into Ryan Finley.
Will Donnie, Levis.
He beat the Steelers
Will
once.
Levis.
That was an ugly day.
He turns into Skylar Thompson. He turns into Ryan Mallett. He turns into Spurgeon Wynn. Donnie, I thought
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Maybe.
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston. How about him getting benched, huh?
Not a surprise.
It's really remarkable. So the question on the table is, does he get it turned around? Does he become Lamar again? Or is he again somebody we don't know? Donnie says somebody we don't know. I say he turns into Lamar. I don't say it with confidence. But man, if not now, then when? That's another thing I'd be asking if I was a Ravens follower. This guy doesn't get it done against the Steelers in this environment with a home crowd, with them beaten up, with them him coming off a bye week and a free game against the Giants, then when? Then when, I would ask. Limits, what's your take? Lamar or not Lamar?
Lamar.
That is the question.
Sees ghosts.
QB?
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or not QB.
QB or not QB? That is the question. You like that, Donnie?
I do like that one.
I'm sorry, Limits. I interrupted you.
Lamar sees ghosts against the Steelers. I don't know if it's Mike Tomlin that's in his head, TJ Watt that's in its head. I think realistically, it's the entire Steeler logo that is in his head. When he sees it, there just becomes fear in his eyes. Like, for whatever reason, Lamar and the Ravens become something that they're not, and attempt to be something that they're not. Every time they play against the Steelers, they get away from the run, they get away from their strengths, and Lamar misses throws all over the place. He makes bad reads. Superman has a kryptonite. And Lamar's kryptonite is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, everyone has someone. I mean, Peyton Manning was occasionally the kryptonite for Tom Brady. Craig Elo was for a long time for Jordan.
Actually, the Ravens were a kryptonite for Tom Brady. Yeah. Beat him twice in Foxborough in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Should have been
that's
three.
That's a Jacoby Jones long pass.
Yeah.
I think about just the way that the Steelers know how to contain Lamar, the familiarity with them. I do not think Lamar is going to break out in this game, even though I think the circumstances are the best they've ever been for him in a home game to face the Steelers and the best weapons he's ever had. But until I see it, no. I think Lamar is going to lose once again, and the Steelers are going to conquer him.
Man, the Lamar, when he's himself, Mr. Jackson, when he's Mr. Jackson, there's Mr. Jackson and Mr. Hyde, Mr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When he's Mr. Jackson, he's this ultra-confident, cocky, in a good way, sure of his powers, you know, sure of himself. And when he's Mr. Hyde against the Steelers, he's this indecisive, confused, second-guessing shell of himself. It's unreal, man. Let's go back to the lines.
Here's Francisco in Squirrel Hill.
Hello, sir.
Angel.
No way.
Do you think Kyle Bowler should replace Mr. Jackson?
Do we know who this is, Donnie?
I have no idea
who this is. A Kyle Bowler reference. I once interviewed him. Who are you, sir? Reveal yourself or leave.
Jackass Tony.
Yeah, baby. Let's go, Donnie.
Joe, I just want to call back and apologize for everything.
Hold on, he's apologizing.
And the Mrs. Starkey, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I love you like no other.
Thank you, Tony. This is a great call. Thoughts on the game?
He hung up.
All right.
How about that?
That was great.
That was an all-time.
At first, I thought, okay, there's no way that Palm finally gets his redemption because the voice was way too high.
I thought it was Pony, but what was the caller's alias?
Francisco from Squirrel Hill. I was a little bit thrown off by that. I was like, maybe, but.
There wasn't enough alliteration to make me concerned about that.
Yeah, he didn't do any sort of like historical tie-in.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't Abe from Lincoln Square or anything like that, right? Donnie from Dormont.
James from Monroeville.
Exactly, yes.
We sometimes get, I don't know if you guys ever get this guy. He's called in the afternoon, though. We get John and Kennedy, and it's
John
a real caller.
It's a real guy?
It's a real caller. Because he called in the midst of all of the, like, prank calls that you would pull, and
That's very close to John Glenn from the moon.
And I said, from John, Moon Township. John and Kennedy, and he, like, laughed. He's like, no, my name is John, and I actually live in Kennedy.
Wow.
I live, close to Malsey.
I have not heard that one. That was an all-time call from Tony that we shall
replay. He reconciled.
Yeah.
It's the holiday season, Joe.
Hold
Everyone's
a
in a good mood and a good spirit.
Hold on a second.
You were wished a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
The savvy old news hound here once did a story about Kyle Bowler. He was supposed to be their next guy. Do you realize that?
He got drafted when in 03?
Yeah.
Was with them in 03?
His claim to fame, I can't find my story. It was so long ago, it's disappeared even from the internet. His claim to fame was from his knees, he could throw a ball from midfield through the goalposts. I think he was from Cal, if I'm not mistaken. Kyle Bowler. But he couldn't play quarterback, unfortunately, for them, which was kind of a problem. Anyway, what a name drop by Tony. What a name drop. And all is forgiven in this holiday season, Donnie. Isn't that a beautiful
story? He would have been the Cal guy before Aaron Rodgers.
I think. Don't quote me on that. Was he from Cal?
He was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
first
he was.
First rounder in 2003.
First round by Brian Billick. What are you doing, Brian? Kyle Bowler? He lost his mind. They should have stayed with Trent Dilfer. They won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. They just had to replace him with Elvis Gerback and then Kyle Bowler. Poor Brian Billick.
Say, hey, what are you doing?
And then it was Joe Flacco who actually became the guy,
yep.
Our little friend Joe Flacco. Anyway, how about some show bonding here on Donnie Football Friday before we get to Ray Fittipaldi? Did I do the 50-minute mark a second ago?
No.
I will now. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. It's actually the Pomp and Joe Show. That's a bad read right there. I'm sorry. From the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contests, run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. All right, we're going to get to Ray Fittipaldi and his gut feel and some of these injured guys and all of that. No need to take calls anymore, limits. We're at the end of the hour. We're going to do some bonding. So if that's Tony calling back, hang up on him. A couple of times here, Donnie, on Fridays, you and I have brought each other lunch, which was a beautiful gesture. I think I had pasta for you 1 week, did
yes.
I not? And then you had chicken and broccoli for me. Both times, Limits was inadvertently left out, which I felt horrible about because I was going to order pizza with him both times. So today, when I went to the deli in Wexford, I bought each of us a meal if we want it. Perhaps you guys brought your own lunch. Here are your choices. Pasta with shrimp, like an Alfredo, shrimp Alfredo pasta. Meatloaf with potatoes. I was thinking of Donnie there. Perhaps I'm stereotyping Donnie.
Wow. How about what assumptions is making about you,
meat and potatoes type.
And then pasta with red vodka sauce on top of that. Thoughts, feelings, anything?
That sounds incredulent to me.
Which one do you want? You get first choice today.
Oh, I will take option A. I'll take what's behind door number one.
Donnie?
What all did you say was on the pasta?
Well, it's just basically red sauce, vodka sauce. You want that?
I'll do the meatloaf and potatoes.
All right.
I'll do the meat and potatoes.
Stereotype for right
now. You know I'm that type of guy.
That's what I was planning. And even as we speak, Donnie has gifted us here, and I'm opening this on live radio, Donnie. Is this from Sarah?
Yes, it is.
And you. I mean, but she made it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Now, here's the thing about
what are these hockey pucks?
Those are chocolate-covered Oreos. Now, here's the thing
chocolate-covered Oreos.
Now, here's the thing about those chocolate chip cookies. They appear like they're just chocolate chip cookies.
But
they have an Oreo in the middle.
What?
Holy
There's an Oreo
follicles.
In the middle.
Are you kidding
there
me?
There is an Oreo in the middle of that chocolate chip cookie.
She hit the Oreo very well. You'd never know.
They're fantastic.
Donnie, I'm honored to the point of almost tears here. This is incredible.
My gosh, Joe.
Which one did you have?
That's incredible. I had the cookie with the Oreo in it.
Donnie, I'm going to wait till after my pasta, but this is meaningful, and I think this bonds the show.
It does.
I think this is like the Penguins after the loss to the Utah Hockey Club the night that Sid had his 600th.
Yeah.
And I think...
The 6-1 game?
Yeah, it didn't feel right. It felt bad. And I'm convinced to this day, whether any of those guys admits it or not, that them ruining a moment for a great person and leader, their leader like Sid that night, shamed them. I'm just convinced of it. I'm convinced that that was rock bottom and that something inside of them looked around that night and said, what have we done? Sidney Crosby, our guy, our captain, we basically ruined a milestone night for him. And I don't even know if Sid was mad that night as much as sad from the interviews that I saw. And it's way worse when dad is sad at what you've done than mad. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
No, if dad is disappointed in you,
disappointed.
That's the worst. Yeah.
You've hurt dad. That's way worse than dad is raging. You know what I mean?
They disappointed dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I honestly believe there's something to it. Because what's happening now is sort of, I don't want to say magical yet, but man, the way that they're winning these games last night was unbelievable, Donnie. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, they've really turned around in a spot where I thought maybe not that they would totally crater, but they were for a while like in consideration of maybe the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Like they had the worst goal differential. They were maybe like a point or a couple of points ahead of the teams in the cellar. And there were arguments of like, well, you could argue that the Penguins are the worst because maybe the other team had games in hand or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So nice to see them dig out of it a little bit. That's the benefit of a long season.
For a brief like moment, that. They were in playoff position last night, I think, until Ottawa yes. won. How about that? And then did you stay up after the Pitt match last night? Did you stay up for Penn State, Nebraska? You want a dramatic sporting experience? That was one.
See, I turned on Thursday Night Football after Pitt lost.
Yeah.
Watched the rest of that game. I would periodically check in. I had a few buddies like texting about it. The point when I went to bed, Penn State was down 2-0. And I thought, okay, well, this one's over. I saw like the stat on Twitter about like Nebraska when they're up 2-0, how they almost never lose.
Yes, I fell asleep way before that and was just knocked out on the couch. And my wife, of all people, who doesn't even like sports that much, is rustling me. It's the fifth set. Penn State just came back, and I think it was 12-8, and then they blew that lead, Penn State did, but then they win in the end. You talk about theater, that whole thing. How about the, was it the second game of the Pitt match that went to 29-27? That has become a sport that people want to watch, and a wildly entertaining sport. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy watching it. Like, I don't get into it, admittedly, I don't get into it until, like, not the end, but at least once the games start to pick up some more meaning, I think because you know that Pitt's going to be good.
Right.
I mean, Penn State people, if they follow it, you know Penn State's always going to be good. But it is, like, it's fast-paced, it's easy to follow. I mean, sometimes the things get confusing. The other thing I like about it, and maybe the NFL and other leagues should take note, the review process is often pretty swift.
They have that guy come over and say the most obvious thing.
Yeah. He's about this close to the camera.
His face jumps into your living room. We gave the guy a cup of coffee last night. We did. He had a cup of coffee with us during the game. He said the ball was ruled in. Pitt challenges that the ball was out. Thank you. That's all we ever want from replay. In or out. Which was it? And then they show a clear replay, and that sport has it down, man.
You know what other sport is actually very efficient at replay is tennis.
Yeah, why can't...
They just quickly show like the virtual shot, like if it was on the line, if it wasn't.
So why in football do we have such confusion a lot with the spot, Donnie? I guess that can't be rectified, but the first down thing can, right? By putting a little chip in the football?
You would think, yeah. I don't know why they can't.
Wait a second. What? When's the last time you saw a good measurement? Is that eliminated from the league? I haven't seen a measurement, now that you mention it, in a long time.
Since Gene Steratore pulled out the index card.
Did I miss them eliminating measurements? I couldn't have.
No, they didn't completely eliminate it. I think replay assist has helped them a lot.
When was the last time that either one of you saw a measurement in a Steeler game? Am I missing something?
No, I do remember one. I can't remember what game it was earlier this year where there was a measurement.
Yeah, I know, but that says a lot in and of itself,
yeah, not
right?
as much.
Donnie, can you think of
it's
one?
It's definitely gone down, which is probably good.
It's gone the way of the dodo bird.
It has.
Right? All right, coming up next, Ray Fittipaldo.
I've already eaten one of the cookies, Donnie. So good.
I've eaten a dodo bird.
Thank
Delicious.
You, Sarah.
Better than a Cornish hen. All right, I have lunch for the boys here. They can choose when they want to eat it, and we'll have a celebratory day here on Donnie Football Friday. You're off for like the next month anyway, aren't you, Donnie?
Yeah, I'm off for like the whole like rest of the holiday season here, besides Steelers pregame shows.
Now, rumor has it that your girlfriend is going to work, and you're just going to be on your own. It's basically every day is Donnie Football Friday. What are you going to do?
Well, after like day after Christmas, we're going to go down to visit my parents.
No. What are you going to do when you have the run of the house and your girlfriend's working? What are your plans here? Are you going to read a book? You going to watch old football tapes? What does Donnie Football do when left to his own devices over the holidays?
I normally fall down a rabbit hole that either is pro football or pro wrestling. Yeah, I mean, I'll get like exercise in at some point over the course of a day, which I always try to do. I normally take it easy, though. if there are like little things I have to like take care of, I'll do that. Household chores that Sarah makes me do.
In some ways, a fascinating man, isn't he, Limits?
Very much so.